Welcome to Barbecue Radio Network, America's premier barbecue radio show. Join your host, two-time world champion, Andy Groneman and friends, as they sink their teeth into the finest grilling, smoking, and barbecue from coast to coast with the industry's leading pitmasters. Stay tuned for great tips, techniques, and products that will enhance your backyard experience by being a part of the Barbecue Radio Network.
Thank you for tuning in and welcome to Barbecue Radio Network. I'm your host, Andy G, along with executive producer T-Bone and my co-host, who is almost as tangy as his Tar Heel Tang barbecue sauce, Todd Johns.
Oh, me?
Yes, grand champion of the American Royal, Todd Johns.
Well, that was a long time ago, man. Well, coming up on 15 years. Can you believe it?
I know.
What, wasn't that like when there were like what, 50 teams?
Way more than that.
437
or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was in the 500s.
See, I knew it was less. Time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What do we got going on today, Andy?
What do we have going on today, you might ask? Well, we have a returning guest today, and he has been tearing it up on the barbecue circuit for over a decade. He's been KCBS Team of the Year. He's won the largest barbecue contest in the world as well, the American Royal. It's the owner of Porky Butts Barbecue, Blaine Hunter.
Ooh.
And Blaine is always fun to have on because he is constantly doing cool stuff in the kitchen. So I'm anxious to pick his brain a little bit.
Yeah, let's see if he's got his creative chef's hat on.
That's right.
This week.
And you can check Blaine out on Facebook at Blaine.Hunter or follow all of his socials for Porky Butts Barbecue at Porky Butts BBQ. And then in the fourth segment, we're going to talk with Todd about carne asada.
Carne asada.
That's right. One of my favorite
That's
dishes.
Right.
And, you know, last week we were talking about cast iron and all of that. And it's like, I love to get my carne asada grilling, but then I've got a big cast iron griddle right next to it with all of my peppers and onions getting blistered and just trying to get some flavor going. I'm excited. Carne asada is going to be a blast.
Yes, yes, yes. It's a platform in and of itself. I love it.
Yes, yes. It's a platform I think we could all vote for.
That's
carne
right.
Asada 2024.
Yes.
There we go. Well, it's time now for our Ask Andy segment, which is brought to you by Smoke on Wheels Kansas City Bootleg Barbecue Sauce, which you can get at All Things Barbecue over at atbbq.com. And I have to remind everybody, leave us a question on the Facebook page or email it directly to T-Bone, and you will get yourself a Barbecue Radio Network t-shirt when we use it on the air. T-Bone, what do you got?
Well, Andy, I've got a question for you.
Well, okay.
How about that? This is from Cheryl Fredericks from Portland, Oregon. Andy, when I go to the store and I'm shopping for protein for the barbecue, what am I looking for or trying to avoid on the labels? I know we've there's been a couple shows that we've talked specifically about ribs.
I mean, if it says beyond or impossible on the label, you probably want to run, don't walk from that. But no, that's a great question. And I always like to start with something as minimally processed as possible. And what I mean by that is if I'm buying chicken, if I look at the label and it says enhanced with 20% natural broth or enhanced with saline solution 18% or something like that, that means that 18% of what I'm buying is the water weight that they've injected it with. And if I wanted to go home and brine that chicken and do like a cool bourbon brine on it, or if I wanted to marinate it or do anything like that, now I have to overcome what they've already done to it to do what I want to it. So then, and if I don't look at the label, if I wasn't paying attention and I threw it in a bucket of brine, it's probably going to cook and be salty and nasty.
Yeah, or not take on as much because it's already pumped. If you're talking beef, one of the things I want to look at the label, one of the first things I'm going to look at on the label is the USDA grade. And, you know, and what am I looking for? Am I looking for choice? Am I looking for upper choice, like a branded product, like a,
like
this escaped me.
Creekstone Farms MasterChef.
Right.
Or Chef's Table or Sterling Silver or,
Yeah. So,
a man of beef.
Right. So I might be looking for, like, is it a branded product, which means that there are different criteria that goes through. Certified Angus beef, that's what I was thinking of. So, you know, certified Angus beef has 10 different criteria that the carcass has to meet in order to be branded. So I know that it's going to be at least at that requisite quality. USD, which is outside of or alongside of the USDA grading. And so am I looking for choice? Am I looking for prime? You know, where am I at? And if I know more about certified Angus beef brand, and you know, I know
that's what
we use at the restaurant. And even before that, that's what we were using on the competition circuit before Wagyu briskets became all the rage. And you know, you always know you're going to be in the top 20% of choice, which is not far off of prime. So you're going to get good quality cut. So if you're looking at beef and it's still in its original packaging, there's going to be a grade to it. The challenge then with anything is when the supermarket or the butcher, let's just say the supermarket, you know, takes it out of that cryovac, because they're not buying primals. They're buying things in cryovac, and then, you know, they're buying a rib roast and then breaking it down into steaks. Yeah, they're
cutting that into steaks and then repackaging that in their own little styro packs. And
Or even if we're talking pork belly or something like that, they're repackaging that into smaller packages. So now you lose a lot of that information of, you know, if there was a grade to it or if there was a pack date, you know, you don't get to see that stuff.
But a lot of times, especially on those USDA program products. So those all have a G schedule. So for example, Creekstone was a G44. You knew what you were getting in that Master Chef or in that Chef's Table product, where it fell on their natural products. They will still market the heck out of those things in the case where that meat is. And what you'll find is the closer you get to the butcher, the closer you get to the meat counter, the better and better the product gets, because they want to engage you with that in the meat counter. So the stuff that's way, way out on the fringe that's on sale, that's going to be the cheaper cuts of things. And then as you get closer and closer to that meat case, you'll see more information. You'll see, oh, that's a Casey Pride Hereford steak. And then you'll see,
this is a man of beef.
Yeah, this is a man of beef. This is a certified Angus steak. Mm-hmm. And then by the time you get up to the meat case where you can engage with a person, now, if you go, what is that in there? They'll go, oh, wow, that's a USDA prime that we've aged for 30 days.
Right.
They'll give you all that info, even though they've cut it and put it in the case and you can't read it on the cryovac. They're going to make sure you know that, because they're going to charge you for that.
Everything under glass is going to cost you 25% more just because it's behind the glass.
So, Cheryl, I guess what we're trying to tell you is just be discerning about looking for any enhancement to the product. And there's a couple of instances where you might want an enhancement. So, you know, we're going to be talking about carne asada later, and there are grocery stores that will pre-marinate for you that skirt or flank. And so as long as you know that going into it, you can start with that as your mindset versus building your own marinade to put that in. But you want to do that on your own if you can.
Yeah, and I go back to beef. I think that's one where supermarkets, they're not, you know, trying to deceive or anything, but there's a lot of select product in supermarkets, especially if you're looking at briskets and whatnot. They're selling a lot of those, and they can sell them, you know, at a lower cost because they're a lower grade. And so really look at, particularly in the supermarket, if you can see what the USDA grade is, pay attention to that, because you're going to find a lot of select stuff.
And if it doesn't call out the grade, it is select.
It is. Right?
That is typically what they're doing, is it's a select product if they don't call out the
most
grade.
Likely. So,
yeah, look for those things. And Cheryl, we will get a t-shirt headed your way out to Portland. Thank you for the question. And next, we are going to be talking with Blaine Hunter, and we're going to dig into some spring menu items, what he's got going on at the house. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in the restaurant industry and trying to get some consistent product going. But all of that, we're going to dig into some of those award-winning tips and tricks. Coming up, it's Blaine Hunter and Porky Butts Barbecue right here on Barbecue Radio Network.
We build a grill, Holstein Manufacturing. you have a better recipe for when you grill. Better ingredients, better cuts of meat, and because you're using a grill from Holstein Manufacturing, well, a better grill. You take grilling seriously, and at Holstein Manufacturing, we make a serious grill. Find your new grill now at HolsteinMFG.com.
We build a grill, Holstein Manufacturing.
Holstein Manufacturing, we build the grill.
Welcome back to the award-winning Barbecue Radio Network. I'm Andy G, along with executive producer T-Bone and my co-host, Plowboy's own Todd Johns. And we've got a returning guest this week. He is the owner of Porky Butts Barbecue in Omaha, Nebraska. The best barbecue in Nebraska, by the way. And of course, over the last decade, he's had his share of wins out on the barbecue circuit. He's team of the year. He's been grand champion of the American Royal Open. You can check out his website at porkybuttsbbq.com or follow all of the fun on Instagram at porkybuttsbarbecue. Welcome to the show, Blaine. How's it going?
It's going good. Thanks for having me back.
Love having you back. Well, last
I like
time,
how you keep extending that that date out up the 10 years, the decade.
You know, you got to just keep growing that a little bit. And last time you were on, you were coming off of winning a GC down in Osceola. And I know you were at Houston Livestock in February. You got anything cool going on coming up?
No. My son's going to be a senior next year. So this year it's on the barbecue circuit. So we're going to take it pretty easy. We did San Antonio Rodeo. And then a couple weeks later, we did the Houston Rodeo. And of course, we'll make it the Royal. And I'm sure we'll sprinkle in a few local, kind of easy to get to contests that work in the schedule. But this year is more about family time and concentrating on the restaurant.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
Got
to do that, too.
Got to do that. Got to take advantage of that when you can do it. And this time of year, we were just talking earlier about spring grilling and going on. And I always love seeing the menu this time of year because you've got all of your Lenten stuff on there. You got Easter stuff. Like, you do pistachio fluff, which is one of my favorites. Like that, and you know, we were talking off air, and you're like, oh, my God, they're done with potato-crusted walleye. But it sounds so good. Lobster chive cream sauce on potato crusted walleye. But what's next now? We're headed out of that kind of Lenten Easter season. So what's next on the menu for cool stuff?
We were just talking about that today. Actually, we're going to start doing a little bit of my kitchen manager loves cooking pork belly. So we're going to do some pork belly sandwiches this year. We were talking about doing a PB club, so it'd be a Porky Butts club with some fresh bacon and make it kind of fun Porky Butts way. And my actual GM, she's a pastry chef by trade, and she makes the most all of our breads and stuff that she makes for our specials is all in-house made. And ooh, she's got some fun stuff coming this summer.
Todd,
yeah,
go ahead. Wipe your lip, bud.
making a trek to Omaha soon.
Do the garlic knots. I don't know if you guys seen those on any of our specials. She makes those garlic knots, and they are they're ridiculous.
Well, you were talking about a sandwich you've got coming that's a little ridiculous.
Yeah, we got the Big Moss coming on Wednesday, which is a your traditional sliced brisket sandwich with a full poutine on top with the herb gravy and cheese curds and some fresh French fries.
Well, and why wouldn't you want gravy, cheese curds, and fries on top of your
and
brisket?
Do not give them silverware. You have to pick it up and eat it. This is not a fork and knife.
It's very, very easy to eat, and I recommend doing it in a full suit.
Exactly. Comes with a bib.
Yeah.
But this time of year, like, the menu's got all kinds of fun stuff on it. Like, you do the pastrami burn-ins, it always looks stellar, and it's like, oh, man, I need to get up there and have some of that. But it's, you know, menu development, people don't understand how hard it is to keep a menu fresh and current and do things that people are going to like to eat. And you always have great menu ideas and recipe ideas. And what really is kind of driving into spring? You mentioned that brisket sandwich, but what else is going to go on the menu this spring? Like, we need the lowdown on the process.
Yeah, no, we're just always looking for new creative stuff and something that someone hasn't done before. And and just keep it fresh and different, keep people interested. I think this summer we're going to concentrate more on, because last year at the end of the summer I did a smoked lobster roll and it went over very, very well. And I think we're going to try and play with a little more seafood this summer. So you might see some cold and some hot seafood dishes coming out. And I may or may not just purchase 250 pounds of fresh shrimp from down in Texas from my good buddy at JP Seafood.
I saw a picture of some of those shrimp.
Yeah. So
that's going to be awesome. But, you know, your barbecue boudin's always great. So there's just, it's always fun seeing what you do with the menu and kind of take it to the next level on that stuff. What is your favorite recipe, though, to throw on the grill now that we're knocking the snow off of everything? I think it's probably, you know, finally warm up there today. I know out in like North Platte it was snowing, but Omaha didn't look too bad. What's now, going on the grill?
Well, right now, I don't have a lot going on the grill just because of the weather. But I mean, when it comes to the family, we're always testing. My family loves seafood. I mean, it's like I said, we love eating shrimp. We love eating my wife is she's in a big grilled oyster phase right now. I don't know where it came from, but she's got me doing Rockefellers, and she loves just the traditional butter, garlic, and then she loves it when we just grill an oyster and put fresh pico de gallo and a little lime juice on it. That's probably her all-time favorite. But this summer, she wants me to test some Rockefeller in the pizza oven, wood-fired pizza oven, so that'll be that'll be a fun one.
You know the Smokin' Magic, Brad and Bree, they've got their Bloody Mary mix, and they'll do grilled oysters, smoke. They'll do smoked oysters with a little bit of that Bloody Mary. So they do like a Bloody Mary oyster.
I have not done that with a full Bloody Mary, but I'm going to try that one.
Yep. I mean, that's got to go well too, right?
I can put anything on an oyster and I'm good.
Yeah.
And you hit the nail on the head using the pizza oven for that stuff.
Like, oh yeah.
I just love to take a nice little cast iron and throw them in there. And I was doing mussels in the pizza oven. Mm. I'd hit them with the garlic and butter and a little white wine and throw it in there, and they'd just bust open and get all steamy and happy. It was amazing what you could do in that pizza oven.
Yeah, there's a guy here in town that does mussels in a pizza oven. I go there all the time, and he uses fresh rosemary, which I would have never put rosemary with mussels, but it is so good. Mm. If you're ever up here, Dante's Pizza, it's amazing.
Dante's. All right. I'm writing that down because I wouldn't have thought rosemary either with mussels, but that works.
Yeah, it works. I mean, it works every time. And the broth he puts in there, it's like a tomato, rosemary, herbaceous lemon broth. It's amazing. Hmm. I mean, it's probably the best I've ever had.
Wow. That's awesome.
And that's when you get like a whole like baguette of crusty bread. And
just, yeah. You just throw the mussels away and just start soaking it up. Right. But yeah, no, my family's big into seafood right now. I mean, my daughter just absolutely, I mean, last week I ate crawfish with her 5 out of 7 nights, I think. She's big into seafood.
You need to do an etouffee at the restaurant. I'm just throwing that out there right now.
You sound like my wife. She's been pushing jambalaya and etouffees. Those are two of her favorite things.
All right. Give me a quick rundown on your favorite oysters on the grill.
Oh, my favorite oysters on the grill are just, I'm just going to keep them simple, a little salt and pepper and throw them on there. And as they start cooking, I'll throw a little garlic butter and then top them with a little fresh lemon. And then as soon as they come off, we're going to hit them with some pico de gallo. We like making fresh pico de gallo from the garden. And every now and then I'll throw a little cheese on them, but my daughter's lactose intolerant, so sometimes we leave the cheese off and just enjoy them as is. It's al fresco.
Oh, well, that is perfect. And of course, we're talking with Blaine Hunter from Porky Butts Barbecue. You can follow all of his content on Facebook or Instagram at Porky Butts BBQ. Talking to Blaine more next, right here on Barbecue Radio Network.
Barbecue Radio Network is heard on radio stations from Hawaii to Florida. If you have a business centered around barbecue or the backyard lifestyle, please consider advertising with us. Contact us through our Facebook page or website at bbqradionetwork.com.
Welcome back to Barbecue Radio Network with my co-host Todd Johns and our executive producer T-Bone. And I'm Andy G, and we are back talking with Blaine Hunter, barbecue champion, pitmaster and owner of Porky Butts Barbecue in Omaha. And we were talking off air about just how hard it is right now to get your proteins and get consistent product in. And supply chains are still just run amok.
Yeah, it's like COVID 2.0 or something, the effects of it.
So how, I mean, how's that affecting you? What are you seeing out there?
Yeah, no, I mean, the supply is there. It's just the consistency and the quality is just not there. And I don't know that it's ever going to get back to where it was before. And the worst part about it is we're paying more money for meat that is poorly cut and poorly specced out. But it's hard right now. And you know, for us that do large volumes, it's really hard to get the quality of ribs in. And some of the
ribs is always products. Ribs is always one where you can get different things in a box and time of year and how the herds are being sold off at that time. And there's a lot of factors to it, but ribs, it always seemed like, you know, when I was running my joints, that like a couple times a year, you just run a few weeks where the ribs were just crap. And spotty.
Spotty is an understatement anymore. It's just the inconsistency is just absolutely. I mean, I had two cases come in last week and they were 4.25 average in one case and they were 2.25 in the other case. And they came from the same plant, same date, same everything. And I'm like, just didn't make sense.
And when you're selling them by the rack instead of by the weight, that just makes it hard for the, you know, to give the consumer the value they deserve.
100%, and that was one of the mistakes that I always talked to Darren about, is that we should have started selling it by the weight instead of the piece.
Well, and what a lot of people I don't think understand is you need to have that consistent size because of the volume of cooking that you're doing. Because you get inconsistent finished product. If you've got one of those like 3.5 and downs and a 4.5 and up in the same case, it's like you just can't have those kind of swings and turn out great product every time.
100%, especially when I'm not going to say my pitmasters aren't as skilled as they used to be, but some of them, you know, aren't, you know, they're not good enough to notice that they know that hour and a half we're supposed to be checking those ribs, but sometimes it might be an hour if they're a lot smaller and it might be 2 hours if they're a little bigger. But it's making for challenging every day in the restaurant business. And I'm fortunate enough to deal with some of the big companies on beef and some of those things that are a little more consistent. So the mom and pa that are just getting one case in, I can't imagine how hard it is to operate these days.
Well, and same at the grocery store level, if you're trying to find, you know, product that's on the shelf, it's got to be incredibly tough.
Oh, especially the comp guys. I mean, some of the comp stuff has got to be just really hard right now. And I'm kind of glad I'm not out there grinding away trying to find ribs.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's no joke.
And the thing people, you know, you don't understand doing the volume that like you're doing or like we were doing is, you know, just the how do you teach that, to your point? How do you get your pit masters to the point where, you know, they're having to deal with that variability? And, you know, that's the hard part that's one of the hard parts of commercial barbecue is
100%.
Is that it's not, you know, send a frozen burger puck down a conveyor belt and it comes out beautiful, right?
There's an art to it.
Even 100%. When we try to bring the variables down as much as we can, there's still a lot of variability.
And that's why I tried to pull my guys aside and explain to them that this still, I mean, we are pit masters and this is an art, like you said, and they need to get rid of the clocks and get rid of the timers and get rid of the, you know, set my phone for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And just, you know, they need to touch the meat and learn when, you know, a rib is done. That's the main thing we need to learn is to touch it, feel it and bend it. And then, you know, it's done.
You're getting Andy excited over here.
Yeah.
Well. Every single piece of meat's going to be done differently. There's no animal that's the same, and you can't tell that. I mean, it's hard to teach.
Yep. And your folks, though, they get to that point where they can even look at it. Like, I could look at ribs and know those ribs are done. Those ribs are not, you know, more or less. I was mostly right. And my team could do the same thing. You just kind of start to know what things look like when they're getting close or the when they're done.
And does the quality of the product that you're getting as your input, has that changed your process so that you can create a more consistent output?
Yes. I mean, I've changed, and I've actually changed, like, on my chicken. We started with just a chicken out of the box, smoking it, to the point that now we're brining it and adjusting it. And I've changed the seasoning on it, even added a few things to it just to give it a little more flavor.
Yeah. Poultry is another one of those that I really think that the labor in the poultry plants has had a turnover, gone downhill, because the processing is just so off. It's so inconsistent, animal to animal.
Yeah, 100%, and plant to plant even. I mean, plants, you, I can. I,
yeah, I was gonna say, what are you seeing with that? Like, have you figured out a kind of a cheat code?
Yeah, no. So I have an app on my phone that I, you know, that you can scan the, even like at stores, and you can scan all the plant codes so you know exactly where it came from. And then I've got it down to, like, especially on ribs. Ribs is the one that I really have to watch. Mm-hmm. I mean, in Tyson, there's a Madisonville plant that if I can get a rib, any rib I can get out of there, whatever brand they're cutting at that time, whatever Duroc rib that's coming out of there, I try to get, because they do a pretty good job of cutting the ribs, and they hold a pretty tight spec.
Yeah, even within the same company, the plant that it's being produced at makes a huge difference.
Huge difference.
Man, I wish I would have had that app back in the day.
Yeah, no, it's a great app, and I don't even remember who showed it to me, but yeah, you can just scan any plant code, and it'll tell you exactly what plant it would come out of, and that goes for all meats.
And we're talking with Blaine Hunter here on Barbecue Radio Network. So let's get back to cooking in the backyard. What are some of the things that you're looking forward to doing? We talked about the oysters. Got any other stuff you're itching to get out now that the weather's getting better and fire up for the family?
Yeah, no, I mean, I was down in Texas just last week, so I had some Texas-style brisket. I was at Killens and a couple of the places in Houston, and just kind of getting my juices going to fire up the offset and do a Texas-style salt and pepper brisket. I haven't done a classic brisket for a while, and, you know, you get so caught up in the restaurant and consistency and then the competition, which is over-enhanced brisket. But I'd like to get back to the basics and just cook a nice, perfectly cooked fatty. So
it's always fun to go out and travel and then get inspired and come back and
100%.
And almost reminisce about your little trip and try your hand at something that you tried or saw and see if you can replicate your version of it. And
Texas right now, I mean, there's so many guys that are, yeah, are just doing it at a level that is next level. You've got, you know, Leo at Truth killing it, and John over at Interstellar. Like, there's just some great, great barbecue coming out of Texas right now. Goldie's, when I was down there, yeah, man, Goldie's was just phenomenal.
Yeah, man, the 2M guys in San Antonio are just amazing.
And yeah, I can't spit his. I mean, his stuff is just as good as I've ever had. But I heard when I was down in Texas, I was down in the Galveston area. There was someone telling me that there's a place in Beaumont, Texas called, I think, 1701 or 1710.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I haven't even heard of it. And these people were like, it's a must try. So on my next trip down, I'm hoping to hit that one.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. I'm going to have to look that up too, because it just seems like there's always something new and cool going on down there. Well,
yeah,
thank
for sure.
you so much, Blaine. Don't forget, Blaine, he's on all the social media outlets, on Instagram or Facebook. You can follow him at Porky Butts BBQ and sign up for that finger looking good newsletter on his website over at porkybuttsbbq.com. Coming up next, we're going to be talking with Todd and going, what are we talking about, Todd?
Carne asada.
Carne asada. That's right. So we're going to be talking carne asada here on Barbecue Radio Network.
If you have a business centered around barbecue or the backyard lifestyle, consider advertising with us. Contact us at bbqradionetwork.com.
Blue Creek Wagyu wants to help you elevate your beef. Experience the rich beefy flavor and signature buttery tenderness from our Wagyu beef, grown right in the tall grass prairies of Kansas. Our farm-to-fork commitment ensures only the highest quality beef makes it to your plate. Go to BoothCreekWagyu.com and choose from our four marbling grades to find your perfect steak. Use promo code RADIO when you shop and get 15% off your entire order. Booth Creek Wagyu. Elevate your beef.
Welcome back to Todd and Andy here on Barbecue Radio Network. This segment is brought to you by Holstein Manufacturing. Check them out at HolsteinMFG.com. They have NSF-certified cookers and grills, and of course, my favorite corn roasters. And don't forget the mobile event and catering rigs. You can check them all out at HolsteinMFG.com. Man.
The catering rigs and that new little pull type grill they've got, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, the 6040 is cool.
6040. So Blaine's great, man. He always has fun stuff going on. We were talking off air about like the 20 brand new pits he's got coming that he worked. You know, it's like he just immerses himself in all of this.
Yeah, it's always fun talking with him. And like I said, I always love the creativity off of his menu. When I'm following his social stuff, you know, you see him on Facebook all the time, put the new specials out. And I'm like, man, I want to try that. Man, I got to try that. So I'm excited every time we get a chance to talk to him. But, you know, we're probably, we've got a product spotlight, but I just want to jump right into carne asada. You got me all excited last segment. I was jumping out of my seat.
The product spotlight's going to ease us into that. So,
all right. Well, what do we got?
So, you know, and it also kind of plays off of Blaine a little bit, or, you know, Blaine just gets creative in the kitchen. He's got a lot of great culinary people on his team too. And sometimes you don't have the time. Sometimes you just don't have all of the ingredients or whatever. So
there's a kit for that.
There's a kit for that. All Things Barbecue has kits. And one of them that I saw that looked appealing to me was the green taco box. And so it comes with Marty's Chili Verde sauce. It comes with a green hot sauce, their Cattleman's Grill Mexicano rub, and then a fajita bath for marinating fajitas.
Those Sweetwater fajita baths are awesome.
Yes. So for $40, you can probably get, you know, a couple of meals out of this.
Oh, at least.
At least on the rub. I mean, many. But, you know, you've got everything right there. You just buy the meat, throw it together. It can be a Tuesday night fajita night. So $39.99, All Things Barbecue, taco box, the green taco box. But they've got a lot of different like little kits out there that have everything you need. So check those out.
Yeah. And I'm sure that if you hit the sauce and search, Tom probably has some recipes that he plays with that kit too. I would bet.
That's probably where the kit came from, was him doing some things for videos and recipes and whatnot and just put it all in a box. So yeah.
So I definitely.
So let's talk carne asada. I know you're a big carne asada fan. And the thing I love about carne asada is it can be a platform for just so much fun and creativity, because you're bringing kind of a lot of different culinary flavor elements, sensory elements to the table. You're working with oils and spice and citrus, and, you know, so you've got an acid component. You're working with, you know, marinades.
The chili, the achiote paste, right? Mm-hmm. Like you get all of those.
Yeah, I love that stuff. You can't even say it.
Flavors.
Yeah, so, you know, you start out with the spices, some aromatics, you know, onion, garlic, but you can really play with whatever you kind of want to pull together and do your own little version, kind of different every time. It doesn't have to be the same thing. And so it starts out with a good cut of meat, and the traditional probably, or the more common probably, is a skirt steak.
Yep.
And then probably followed by either flank or flap, But doing carne asada with short ribs, I love doing short ribs. Or hanger steak, which I know is you introduced me to hanger steak. I'd never had it before until, you know, years ago you introduced it to me.
And hanger is not everybody's cup of tea. It's inside skirt. It's in that diaphragm, right? So it's it's a little more minerally, and it's definitely on that beefier side of beefy. And some people like a little bit milder beef flavor. So if you're not into that big beef flavor, hanger might not be your jam. But yeah, like a good flank or a or an outside skirt. Yeah, 100%.
These are gonna take on that marinade really well, and the acid from, you know, your citrus. You might be doing some lemon, some lime. I love doing orange, and I'm just a sucker for blood orange and anything I can do. Like, if I can put garlic, poblano, blood orange all together in one dish, I don't know what that would be, but those are some of my favorite things, right? So doing like blood orange in your carne asada marinade.
Well, acid is really key, right? Because those are what we would call secondary cuts of meat. It's not a ribeye. It's not a strip. It's not a filet. Those are secondary cuts that are tougher, and you need that acid to break down that protein.
And then you also can bring things like pineapple and papaya to the table, which are natural tenderizers. They're protease, and you can bring those to the table as well. And then by adding soy is really, really popular. And we think of, you know, Asian food with soy, but soy just does so much for a lot of different meat cuts. So you're bringing that umami element to it. And you know, the different, throwing some sugar, some brown sugar, and, you know, some oil helps the caramelization process. Like, I don't know, there's just something about cooking carne asada that you get to be really creative, and it just all kind of comes together.
So, so getting the marinade right and everything is important. Then how do you like to cook it? What is your style for grilling it? Are you a like direct over the coals guy? Do you like to do a reverse and get more like of a flat sear on the end on a plancha or something? Or what's your jam for carne?
Direct over the coals or on a gas grill. You know, I can get some good browning because of everything going on there. You can get some good browning off the gas grill too, but I don't like going on a plancha or cast or something like that. I like it over a flame and get a little more char going with that.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I want to have a good hot charcoal fire, and I like to have a good lump coal bed. Some, not briquettes. I actually like to cook over wood anytime I'm doing this style of cooking.
Agreed. And then doing tacos with them is my favorite, but you can do burritos with them. You can, you know, just do all kinds of different tortas. But I like a simple dress. I just like cilantro, onion, a little squeeze of lime, a little cotija cheese, and I'm good.
Yeah, and it is such a versatile recipe, too. Like, you can play that into so many things and pair it with different things. But, yeah, so walk me through your cooking process, temperature and all of that, time, finish temp.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a fast cook. That's the other nice thing about it. It's not a long cook. You're basically grilling. Honestly, I don't know temps and times. I just kind of go and I what I do is because I'm cooking over grates and I'm cooking over coals, I don't know what the timing is, but I know when it starts to release with my tongs, it starts to release and not leave the rub, the bark.
Yeah, leave your crust on
my crust on the grate. Then I know it's ready to flip. So I don't, you know, that might be a different time every time, but I'm probably, you know, my gas grill, I'm probably running that thing at 400 degrees, 450 degrees and doing a pretty hot cook.
Yeah, I was thinking I'm normally in that 450 to 500 range at the grate, and it's 3 to 4 minutes a side. And then I do a turn and give it another couple minutes. So it's 5 to 6.
Like a spin. When you say turn, you're spinning it.
Correct. I'm just spinning it. So it's getting about 6 minutes aside for a skirt.
Sure.
7 minutes aside for a flank. And when I pull that off and rest it, it's medium rare,
yeah,
which is what you want. You don't want to overcook it because you'll get tougher as you overcook it.
Yep. And then you're cutting it across the bias.
Correct. Against the grain. So take and cut against the grain of the meat, and you will get amazing flavor, amazing beef flavor, and something that just gives you all of this flexibility in 15 minutes or less on the cooker.
It's a trashy little piece of meat that you just made beautiful.
That's right. Well, we want to thank Blaine Hunter for being on the show again. Follow him on social media at PorkyButtsBBQ on Instagram, on the Book of Faces, and you can check out his website, PorkyButtsBBQ.com. And don't forget, head on over to ATBBQ and pick up the Sauce of the Month, Smoke on Wheels, KC Bootleg. Thanks for joining us. Next week, we are going to bring you more great spring grilling and barbecue tips for T-Bone, Todd, and myself. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll keep the pits lit until next time here on Barbecue Radio Network.
Every Barbecue Radio Network show is archived and available through your favorite podcast platform each and every Thursday.
We build a grill, Holstein Manufacturing.
You have a better recipe for when you grill. Better ingredients, better cuts of meat, and because you're using a grill from Holstein Manufacturing, well, a better grill. You take grilling seriously, and at Holstein Manufacturing, we make a serious grill. Find your new grill now at HolsteinMFG.com.
We build a grill, Holstein Manufacturing.
Holstein Manufacturing. We build the grill.